This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you all for being here this beautiful day. Legislative update.
All right, good folks. A couple of things I want everybody to be aware of. Obviously, you saw the coverage that the final budget deal did not include $69 million for renovations of the domiciliary at the Veterans Home. So the way it looks at this point, the Appropriations Committee is finalizing their interim schedule right now, and tentatively they may come to Buffalo May 7th and May 8th and use a half day to tour the facility, because a lot of the current members of the Appropriations Committee didn't understand the state facilities work in the past to fix the deficiencies in the other state facilities, and this is the final facility with outstanding issues. And so hopefully if we can put some folks into those buildings and let them see the deficiencies, we'll have a better chance. Some of you may know that back when Councilman Madden was chair of the Revenue Committee and would regularly hold a revenue hearing up here, in the past, we would partner with the Taxpayers Association to offer some sort of hospitality during their time here, whether we took them to lunch or sponsored a little social before dinner. So we'll kind of explore the possibility of doing that. So be on the lookout if we can get that worked into their schedule. Apparently they're also going to try to tack it on maybe with a Minerals Committee meeting in the area. So lots of legislators up in this area in May. So any questions on that?
I do. Can you explain, does that mean that project is completely out this year, or they're just coming to tour it for
next term?
So it didn't get funded, and so you'd have to try to bring it back in either the supplemental budget, or we'd have to wait for a full 2 years in the next biennium for the next budget to bring it around. So as you know, direct distribution was fully funded. That's $146 million going through the regular formula, rather than last year where you had 121 that went through the Madden matrix, and then the additional dollars that went through the Hicks hardship. These are all going to be straight dollars through. You do have some adjustments in formulas of who is a hardship community and county, just because you've had some population growth in areas that were traditionally hardship, and also then some massive increase in sales tax in some other areas. So you may see the City of Buffalo's number adjust up or adjust down a little bit as they run those numbers through the formula. So I would say stay tuned to whatever WAM gets you on those as you're starting to plan out your revenue estimations. In terms of housing, Senate File 114, the contract of reciprocity was signed into law by the governor. So this allows a builder that has successfully passed a contractor's exam in one community or county wave into another, provided that they are at the minimum standards of what the county is they're waving in. So if you come from a county or community that basically says, write your name and you're a licensed contractor, they won't necessarily get to wave in here. But I think the thinking is this is one of the items that came out of either the Regulatory Reduction Task Force or the Housing Task Force, said what can we do to try to get more houses built. So that has been signed by the governor. We have a pile of property tax bills sitting on his desk waiting action. The first is House Bill 3. This is that long-term homeowners tax exemption. But what you need to be aware of is that that bill is not backfilled. So any homeowner's deduction that comes out of that will come out of either your 8 mils for the city or the 12 mils for the county. The second bill, House Bill 4, This is the expansion of the refund program, which last year I think there was over 800 or 900 residents in Johnson County that took advantage of this program. It was wildly successful. This is fully backfilled by the state treasurer's office. Representative Crago's bill, House Bill 45, this is the property tax cap bill. Remember, he introduced it 5, it got amended down to 3. It was finally agreed on at 4 in the conference committee. So yeah, it's a good bill. It's waiting for action for the governor sitting on his desk. Senate File 84, this is a another homeowner's exemption bill, but the difference is that this one is fully backfilled, and it's backfilled out of the LISRA. So the rainy day account, LISRA is the legislative stabilization something something account. And so I think that probably the governor and the attorney general are trying to figure out how all of these different bills play against each other. You don't want to sign one that then doesn't work with another. So I don't know if the you'll have more homeowners that would be eligible for 54 than House Bill 3. To be eligible for House Bill 3, you must be over the age of 65 and you must have been in your home for 25 years or more. So 54 does capture more property owners and it is backfilled. The last one is Senate File 89. This is the current veterans' property tax exemption that they can use either towards their home or towards their car registration, and it doubles the exemption amount. Beyond that, we're just waiting with bated breath to see what he's going to do with the budget. Remember, he has a line item and veto authority in that, and they have 15 days from when the bill is delivered to his desk. So most of these bills showed up on his desk the 8th or the 9th. So over the next couple of days, he's going to have to make some final decisions. Obviously, there's also some gun bills that are going to impact your facilities. So we'll just be waiting to see what he does there.
Can I ask a clarifying question about the contractor's licensing? We still will license contractors?
Yes.
They still have to pay our fees?
Yes.
But they won't have to pay them if they're paying them somewhere else.
Yes. So if you choose to license a contractor in Buffalo, they will pay a fee to you. But my understanding is that if they have paid the fee in Laramie, that you're waiving them in.
Yeah.
So I understood it as if I make them take a test here, I could do that if they haven't taken it somewhere else. But we would still get our contractor licenses. Like, if you want to be licensed here, you have to get licensed, bonded, insured for us. But we don't make you take a test again.
Sounds like WHAM needs to update you on where it is.
Well, and I think that's a tragedy that this went through, because contractor licensing, that has just taken a huge hit to your building department now.
I put that on your radar just because you license contractors, so.
Yeah, and we don't license all the other businesses. We just license contractors and then itinerant vendors and food trucks.
Did you sense that the failure of the veterans home remodeling or updating? I think that was affected, wasn't it, by the experience they've had with this long-term care center that they probably all realize now they shouldn't have built here?
I guess, Mike, I'm going to respectfully push back against your statement that they never should have built here. It had nothing to do with delays in construction up here or licensure. It had entirely to do with disagreements between personalities on the Appropriations Committee. We were in the governor's budget. Members of the House stripped it because they felt it wasn't high enough up on the priority lists of the Veterans Administration. What we discovered with the construction of the skilled nursing facility is that if you have dollars and shovel-ready projects, you move up the veterans list quite rapidly, because a lot of states have projects, but they don't either have design or they don't have the match dollars. Yeah. So effort was made by the House to strip the project. Fortunately, Senator Kinski couldn't keep it in, so it was out. Normally, if you had had a Capcom budget going and also the standard budget, you could have tried to put it into Capcom, but as you know, they voted Capcom down on introduction. So you lost that mechanism, and so our only real avenue was to have Representative Crago add it to the General Appropriations Bill. You went through the first conference. It was one of the top priorities of the House to keep it. You had the counter from the Senate, which said, drop it. That conference was declared null and void, and you went to the second conference, and we ended up where we did. And I guess the difference between having a budget and having state agencies operate versus making sure that we were funded, I'd rather have a functioning government, and we'll go back to the drawing board, but we'll get the dollars.
Yeah.
Legislature, so I think we're all glad they're out of town.
Thanks, Bill. Any other questions on legislative updates from Chairman Biden?
Thanks, Bill.
Richard Sabark.
Bill Waller.
Hopefully this will be really quick. thank you for having me this morning. This is just a quick letter that Commissioner Shelley and Mayor Shannon and I met, discussed that we need to make available for notifying the landowners in Richardson Park. We'd like to keep it as brief as possible, but to the point, look at it in terms of a countywide city, I guess not countywide, but a city-county joint effort as far as trying to notify the citizens. We'd like to have an open house forum, kind of explain the situation of what's going on up there and talk about the potential for services to be extended up to the kind of the corner of Richardson Park where Aspen and Highway 16 come together. We, a couple of months ago, had just a rough layout drawing that Kevin Silbernagle had provided that showed the layout from Nelson Engineering. I asked if we could reproduce that to generally just get the point across that, you know, from point A to point B, it is feasible. Explain and try to educate and keep it to the education kind of point that this is the situation that's going on up there. All those houses, as far as, you know, sewer, are extremely limited in terms of what they can do in the future, and I think it's important to just stress that as the leaders. Whether or not they choose to do it is a whole different subject, so we did have that discussion. I have not had a chance to visit with Barry about different districts, and I think that might be kind of premature until you get to more or less an open house meeting, show the facts out there, and then take an answer question session. So what I had planned on doing generally was to get you guys to just look over the letter, make a couple decisions on, you know, if it comes off the county's letterhead, my planning department letterhead, the city of Buffalo, it really doesn't matter. It's a memo style. Who needs to sign it? And then just make sure that we're stressing education kind of moving forward. Any questions?
Do you have a time in mind?
No, and that was the other thing, just kind of trying to keep it open. How big of a meeting location, where, when, We talked about timing just as far as the day. We felt like an evening meeting, 6 or 7 at night, would be best for those that work. Obviously, I looked again, you know, we're talking 98 houses, and that's a lot of people if everybody showed up. We talked about the music room in Bomber Mountain and the auditorium, or the gym. I think the music room holds about 85 people or something, and if we had a full house, I don't know if that'd be big enough. I also know that the last time we had a meeting like this, there was a lot of people that came, but I don't remember exactly how many showed up. I'd plan on taking some of the maps, making sure they're big and printed off, as well as put together just a quick slideshow that just covers the facts, introductions of why we're here, what we're going to do, history about the subdivision, looking at the houses as far as how the developments occurred because of time. Septic systems don't last forever. So explain why we're gathered, and then kind of go through the tech, you know, more of the technical quick of a site plan and why the septic systems are becoming an issue up there. And then from there, just take questions and answers and have hopefully some maps that explain and show the density of the entire development. I wouldn't expect much more than somewhere between 7 to 10 slides at max, mainly just trying to depict and share that knowledge, and then probably maybe 5 boards of big maps that show that sewer layout, and then summarize just some quick facts so that people could kind of exchange and then really hopefully answer questions. I know we're going to get into the funding part of it, but I'd like to make sure that it's kind of focused on going from point A to point B at this point in time, so that it is available. And then if we need to move into the future meetings as far as how the specifics lay out, that's a different process. And I think at that point, we definitely want to make sure we have some counsel that's given us a direction of where to go and how to instruct. So I don't know if you want to plan on a month. It's obviously springtime. Today's first spring, so I just wanted to make sure council was fine and the commissioners were fine with the letter, or if they wanted changes, and then who would sign, and pick a date and time, and we'll get her hopefully going. And then I would encourage everyone to come, because this isn't really trying to force anything up there. As a homeowner, knowing that you would have that looming in your backyard if you lived on a half an acre or a quarter acre, I would want to know. I mean, I'd want to know that I had a $20,000 thing in my backyard that could fail. So,
but, you know, I think that's a good, you're on the right track here, but I think that the end, as it ends, there should be some kind of a roadmap on, you know, not the details, but, the, you know, how can we proceed if you need to do this sometime, so that there's a... we don't want to leave there just with hopelessness in their hearts that they want to go on it. So there is a way that, you know, the city can, you know, check it out, or you could hook up, or you could hook up to the city. You know, we already have some costs, I think, that our engineering department has come up with. And maybe they're not the type of thing you want to put in the invitation or the announcement that should be there, so that they know about where do we go from here, you know, and there is hope.
Okay.
It's a sewer, it's all downhill from there.
He's out of order.
I think that's great. Councilman Madden, I just wrote down that I think either a table with timelines, you know, the first step would be building a sewer line and making it plausible, and then the second step, looking at what they can do specifically for their area, and just a quick summary. And I don't know, do you think it would be appropriate to put it in the letter, or just say, you know, the county and the city have looked at a feasibility, you know, is it feasible and the cost for getting it up there, maybe just add a quick fact sentence or something so that they know. We've had these discussions and going forward, but I don't think the county or the city would want to close our back or close a door or turn our back on any of them.
You need to know we're open-minded about it and we're willing to work with them.
Absolutely.
If they're the ones.
If you put it in the letter, does that look like we're forcing it on them?
Well, that's about
it. I mean, there's a tender line there that you need to... Or is that information that would be better given out at the meeting? And with that, I'd encourage the gym over the music room, because the music room isn't that accessible as far as all those platform stuff. I just think it'd be better in the gym.
And then the other thing that always comes up with that Bomber Mountain is just making sure that we don't, as an entity, we don't have to pay for something like this. But if that's the case, I like to defer it to the bosses. So I just make sure that Bomber Mountain is aware of what's going on, and we wouldn't have to have a massive expense to do this, but we'd also do the due diligence in setting up and tearing down and cleaning up to be responsible. So.
The other, I guess, suggestion I have, because I'm in agreement with Myra, is to take out the word forum and just call it an open house. When you say forum, people think it's a debate.
Yeah.
And if this is purely about sharing public information, I think you'll have better luck if you call it an open house.
How will you finally decide whether Richardson Park wants the project or not?
It's up to them.
I understand it's up to them. Is there going to be an election? Or is there, they would go talk to everybody in every house and get a signature on a contract. How do you do that?
It was a 16%.
I think in the, if they want to go to destroy. Yeah.
Really, Bob, that's why we want this meeting, to see what the interest is.
You know,
if they all come and show up at the meeting and say, you know what, you guys are nuts, we don't want no part of this, then we step back and look at it, you know, to what Mike said at the last meeting, you know, do we just go ahead and run it up there so it's sitting there for when the bomb does go off, because it's going to go off, we just don't know when.
So to Bob's point, do you have science sheets if you'd like to see us sign the for, and if not, sign the against, because then you'd have some data rather than just a feel for the room?
We can do that. That's not a bad idea at all. We can do that at the meeting. And hopefully we have some really good discussion up there. And, you know, like we met last week, and, you know, the biggest thing we wanted to emphasize is just an educational discussion on what, you know, is going to happen up there, and let them kind of make their own decision. Because it's not us, like Bill said, we're not portioning anything.
Well, and that's with the table or timeline, you know, the wording's important. This is what we could do or would be willing to do, not that we're mandating, you know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, this is just something that it's kind of like throwing them a bone and hoping they'll go, you know, actually pick it up and bring it back and see the benefit in the long run. And that's why I think it's important to keep it educational, with the anticipation that if we do get a sign-up sheet and people are very interested, and I think it's simple enough, ask, put a comment, are you interested? Because I've had a lot of citizens actually call me, and they've heard the newspaper writing, or read the newspaper writings, heard around town, seem pretty interested, and they know, I think from situational awareness, they see what's going on. One lady, I just looked at her property, and I was like, oh yeah, now I know why she's calling me. She's completely surrounded by wells and has very limited what she could do if that thing failed. Older. So I also kept that in my mind. A question came up during our meeting last week, and I think it's maybe a little bit before getting the cart ahead of the horses. Overall cost, I just quickly asked Brent, the 8-inch line to come down off that hill, it's all going to be based off of capacity. And so if we ever did get it up there and they put in an infrastructure throughout that subdivision that extended to the Bighorn Estates, which is on the north side, that's where the 2.3 acre lots are, We want to always make sure that gravity coming down is big enough in capacity. So this is just a draft. If we really started moving forward, obviously, those fine details have to be covered. Permits have to be solicited just for the county to, the city and the county to work together on getting it up there. So I think that's the other thing, is just make sure that people are understanding that this is really just educational and trying to make them aware, and that we're not forcing. And I think it's better if they see that and we present it as such.
I think you need to be prepared also to answer the first question that's going to come to their mind, is what's it going to cost us, or where's the money going to come for this?
Yep.
And so if there's, grant opportunities available, or it's going to come out of your pocket or whatever, I think you need to be prepared to give them that information.
And we're hopefully going to have Representative Crago and Travis Lawrence just for some of those questions that you're talking about.
We did ask Travis a question during our meeting, and I just laid it out there. What's a situation where a family fails their septic system and they need to come to you from the bank to get $20,000? Is that something that could be easily done in a few days? And I already know, and he's like, it comes down to those questions, refinancing, mortgaging, are they already mortgaged and second mortgaged, what's their debt, what's the income to debt ratio? And so that's why I think people definitely need to be aware, because there are several things going on when you're dealing with septic systems in that subdivision. It's not just it fails, you can dig it out and replace it. It's hazardous waste, and that can only go one place, and they charge by the pound. And so the landfill is where you would haul that until it's dry, and then it could be filled. If it were completely dry, it could be filled, but you can't let it leave your property. So imagine our backyards if we live in town, and you got a massive 8-9 foot hole excavated with soils coming out, and that's the other thing we have to keep in mind, is all those dynamics. This is 50 foot by 142 and a half foot lots. And an average city lot is 50 by 150 on the Old Town subdivision, in the city of Buffalo. So it's very important that they at least get that education. But if you guys are fine with the letter and the changes we can make, remove forum, make some specific changes, but who would sign it?
Folks leading the charge are more capable of signing it unless the mayor wants to.
Either mayor, Scott, Jeff. My letterhead with the county's okay, I would assume. Or
let's
county.
Put one with the city and the county seals on it.
Okay.
Julie, for our education, remind us again what it costs for a non-resident to connect to a sewer line, and what their monthly fee is to have that service.
So, unlike water, it's not double. It's just $2,500 for a three-quarter, well, that would be your water, and water is a three-quarter inch tap. It's $2,500 for the tap, and then it is $20.60 a month for your
sewer
charge.
Okay. And all of that connection fee goes to the enterprise fund. Where do those dollars go?
They go to the enterprise fund.
And at this point, there's no debt on the wastewater treatment plant, so basically enterprise fund.
There's still debt.
Oh, there is still debt. Okay. What is owed on that facility at this point?
You're catching me off guard. I'll have to.
Sorry.
I can follow up with that, but.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
If you extend that sewer outside the city limits, whatever the basic $20 for your basic hookup fee, how does how does the city get their replacement cost? The taxpayers in town are paying a mill levy for the city. Richardson Park would get the service without any indebtedness.
Well, so the mill levy that would be paid to the city by any taxpayers, that goes to general fund. That doesn't go to the enterprise fund. The enterprise fund pays for itself through user charges and connection fees, and that helps to maintain the lines and everything. So, I mean, it would just go towards that enterprise fund, any connections that they do, and then that. And that's to treat the funds, or treat the water, and pay for all the staff in that fund. That kind of, it's like its own little, I would say, profit center, if you will, but the goal is to not have to subsidize it.
And personally, I think that is a very important thing to explain to people, that if you do tap on, that their dollars aren't going to support the dog catcher. Their dollars are going to keep the...
Just to the sewer.
Just to the sewer.
Anything else on Richardson Park?
That Palmer Mountain doesn't work. Well, that is a library, is that conference room, have enough room for a meeting like this or not? It's kind of easy to get to and everything. But anyway,
it was pretty packed for the YDOT meeting, yeah. So I think you're going to probably put more people in there.
I think so too.
Yeah, I don't think there were much over 100 people at the YDOT meeting.
It was full.
It's another option, the auditorium. Sorry. At the high school. I mean, then you don't have to set up chairs or tear down. And the acoustics is very good. And the microphone system, et cetera.
How about the fairgrounds?
Problem with the fairgrounds is it's pretty well booked every night between kids' programs and the auctions. But we can definitely see.
And that's my next question. Are we going to set a date so we move forward?
I think we should.
I just suggest the fairgrounds because people aren't in the city, you know. So we don't need to go down there and have them tell us what to do. You know, we're still on our turf.
Jim, you suggested about a month out on this meeting.
Yeah, that was hopefully a goal or whatever you guys would be able to plan it and then.
And let it also remind you, because it is a public meeting, you're going to need to do the advertisement requirements to stay within the state statute, so you'll need to advertise it in the paper record.
We'll need to, since this is a joint venture.
We as a collective.
Yes.
We.
Like a Tuesday?
Yeah, probably.
Because Wednesdays we run into some issues, so like Tuesday the 23rd or something?
Are you saying April or May?
April 23rd.
Gives you 4 weeks to advertise it.
What time do you want to start it?
7 o'clock. Gets people home and get them fed. So,
yeah.
You guys good with that?
Yep.
Yeah. Would you say 7?
Yep. How many advertisements would you like to have in the paper?
One. By law, you only need one, I think.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, I thought you had to advertise three.
Whatever you typically do for a planning activity, Jim, I think it's...
Okay, I'll just keep it very similar, and then I think also put it on our town website as an upcoming event, and coordinate the show to get something taken care of. The advertisement will be very, very simple, and I think we'll probably just have a very simple blip about public notice, open house. and say, hey, this is going to be some.
So who decides where to
go? We will make a couple calls. I think the high school is probably the best bet, honestly. Because, well, we're looking at Richardson Park, but there's going to be other people in the community that's going to be interested in this also. So I think probably if we can get into the high school, it'd be the best bet. So I'll reach out and talk to him.
Yeah, call Ryan. He schedules out a time.
Okay.
Do you have his number?
I do.
Bomber Mountain Civic Center.
Yeah, I asked to have this added to the agenda, but I don't really have anything to add to the conversation other than to see if there were any updates on the status of the roof, and I think the HVAC was in question.
We haven't had another meeting or anything, so
no. Is there any appetite for tearing that thing down yet?
You can face the pickleball people. Because they have rackets.
I've only got 8 months left on my term, so maybe that's the one I got.
But who's counting?
I just remember the public outcry when they tore down the high school. It's the original high school. That was,
yeah. It was a little bit better building, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're all still alive.
Yeah.
Barely. I'm scarred a little bit, Julie.
I have a brick.
I have lockers.
From the school.
My locker, actually.
Mm-hmm. How cool is that?
It was made out of wood. anything else on Bomber Mountain?
No.
City County Spring Cleanup.
I asked to have that on the agenda because we are coming up on that time of year. May isn't that far off. I reached out to Bob Fox to see if there were any dates that would work for him, and he suggested he'd like to see it May 15th through the 18th, if that's agreeable with everybody.
And does Bob want it on the same dates for city and county?
Yes.
So they can deal with it all at once?
Yes, okay. He does.
Has Terry gotten a hold of you at all?
Yes, he wanted to know what I had done about it.
Okay, because First Northern Bank has also reached out to us. They want to bring in, they must have to do some shredding, and they will bring in a shredder, and they want to offer it to citizens during the same time.
Oh, very nice.
So we should coordinate with them that it's one big spring clean. So,
nice.
And that was Luke Gate.
What was the name?
Luke Gate. But
I'll reach out to him.
Stuff
then.
In triplicate and that you don't need. Here's your chance. And not have to pay our shredder to come here.
So,
that's going to be 15 for the 18th.
Really?
Anything else on spring cleanup? Roundtable discussion, council.
Mr. Mayor, I have nothing.
Councilman.
That commissioner. Commissioner.
No.
Councilman. Vice Mayor.
No.
The only thing I have is...
Okay.
A cup of coffee. Only thing I have is full board meetings are starting, so fun and exciting things there. Madam Clerk. Press.
Still working on our website. Have our board meeting today.
Things are moving forward. We're just starting budgets, so.
Yep.
Jim, anything else?
Good.
Nothing else. Next council commission breakfast, April 16th.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.